Welcome to The Gut Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you create one happier, flatter, and more joyful belly and life. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, holistic health coach, nutritionist, and all-round health geek. And I have a specific and particular love of Sharpie pens. Literally on my desk, there's about like 25 of them. Welcome to the Gut Goddess Show, and this week we have a very exciting guest with us, maybe one of my top favourite guests, and we're going to be kicking off a sort of how she did it mini-series. So today what we're going to be looking at is how she did it in terms of losing weight and healing her body and feeling really, really good. And so that is what we're going to be looking at. But before we dive in and hop into the conversation, if you haven't done the Gut Goddess quiz yet, then, I mean, you really should. I mean, everyone loves a quiz. I love a good old quiz. Spent most of my childhood doing random quizzes in Ms. magazine, if anyone remembers Ms. I don't know if it's still around. Is it still around? I don't think it is.
I don't know.
Still think it is.
I remember.
But I love a good quiz. But anyway, this quiz is slightly more helpful than the Will You Get a Boyfriend quiz in the Ms. magazine, and it'll actually help you to know maybe why you feel so rubbish or crap, or like, is it your thyroid? Is it your digestion? Is it your mindset? What's the key thing to actually start working on? And so you can find that at supernaturallyhealthy.org/quiz. Also, if you've not left me a review on iTunes,
then
you could hear my raucous guest in the background. Then it would be great if you did, because this podcast, I aim to do it as a weekly free educational resource to inspire and equip you so that you can really heal your body and live that kick-ass life that you actually really want to live, because health is important for us doing all the things, all the dreams that we have in front of us. And also it's fun and I enjoy doing it. But it's a great way, you leaving a review is a great way of just saying thanks, Kezia, for all the time, energy and money that you put into running the podcast. And it makes me smile. And in my current postpartum state, which is when you'll be listening to this, it'll probably make me cry, let's be honest. I imagine anything will make me cry. So maybe you get extra points if you make me cry extra hard in your review. But without further ado, we have the wonderful Jessica Brown joining us. Woo!
Fanfare.
Yes, I am. Thank you so much.
Yes, she is. So, for those of you that do not know, on an official professional level, Jessica Brown is my awesomeness activator / community manager / administrator / project manager / keep supernaturally healthy from imploding person. And she is also...
It's a long job title.
It's a long job title. But she's also my sister, my older sister, and which is the most important role she has in my life. But thankfully, she also helps things that supernaturally healthy go smoothly. And she is joining us today because in the past, probably, say like a year, you've definitely been on your own sort of health journey. Jessica loves that phrase.
Oh,
She hates the phrase health journey. So I think I might use it as much as possible. Tell us about your health journey. But she has. And a lot has shifted. And what we're going to be doing this in two parts. And in this part, we're really going to focus on weight. Because weight is one of those things that lots of people are either like, oh, I really want to focus on my health, but I also really want to lose weight, but I don't want to go like crazy ass dieting or like suddenly turn into this crazy person that counts everything. But I also do want to lose weight, but I also do want to feel healthy, but I also want to love my body. And I also don't, you know, you maybe are into the whole, I don't know, body positivity thing, or you're not wanting to lose weight because the Kardashians are doing it. You're wanting to do it because you know you want to do it in order to really look after your body. And it can feel sometimes like this weird tension, like you've got to pick, do I want to lose weight or be healthy? And actually, I think, Jess, your story is a great example of both.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely walked that tightrope, for sure. And it is a really hard one because I think you get sucked in, particularly as like a mum. So I've got like three kids.
Yeah, very cute kids.
They're super cute. They're very cute. So I've got two boys and a girl. I just put on hundreds of weight with every pregnancy. I just did. And by pregnancy three, I was like, this is just how my body does pregnancy. It's like, I'm not losing a single grain of fat the whole time I'm pregnant. And other bodies are not like that.
No.
And I worked on really hard, not hating those people a little bit. But like 3 stone every pregnancy without fail. So my first pregnancy, I was clueless and like kind of deserved it a little bit because I ate a load of cake. Second pregnancy, I kind of knew what I was doing. And I ate really quite healthily as far as my awareness went at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Still gained 3 stone. So by the time baby three came along, I was a bit like, well, I'm damned if I do and I'm damned if I don't. So I'm just going to eat. So like 3 stone every time. So, and that's hard because you don't feel comfortable with your weight. You're not happy with your weight.
Yeah.
I've always liked my body, but it just makes you feel rubbish. But then you feel bad for feeling rubbish about your body. Oh, cycles.
Yeah, because you, there's part of you that's aware, especially in your case, I've just made 3 amazing kids. I don't want to, like, my body's amazing, and it is amazing, but then equally that tension of, oh, well, maybe I'm not feeling great, or my energy isn't great, or it's not a fun position to be in.
No. And also, after babies, I mean, get used to hearing this, love, because I've been telling you a lot. You do not get your body back.
In a week.
That is a big, fat lie.
Be like Beyonce? Straight away?
No. Because she's like Beyonce now, listeners. She is. she is, but like a white, skinny version.
Slightly less fringe.
I don't know. But anyway, getting your body back is a lie manufactured by the diet machine.
Yeah.
It is. The big diet company in the sky tells you that if you do this and you do that, you will get your body back. Your body is never the same after having a baby. Whether you have a section, whether you have a vaginal delivery, whether you breastfeed, whether you bottle feed, your body does not come back. It's different.
Yeah.
So love what you've got. If you're trying to have the body you had when you were 20, that dream ain't ever going to come true. I mean, I'm renowned for my tough love, guys. So.
She is. She is, guys.
Find a new dream.
She's like the tough love version of me.
This is why I'm not often allowed a mic, you see.
No, it's good. You do. But it is. I get lots of clients that will be like, oh, I just, they're maybe in their mid-30s, mid-40s, and they're like, oh, I would really just love to like have the belly or the body that I had when I was like 19 or 20. And then I'm always a bit like, that's a really odd expectation to have. And a lot of pressure.
Like, I'm 34. I'm not going to look like I did when I was 19. Like, for one thing, my boobs are bigger. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
For one thing, when I was 19, I thought I had this horrible dream that I was just fat all the time. And then you look back at pictures of yourself and you're like, so at the time, you think you're fat. And then you look back at pictures of you at that age and you're like, oh, so skinny then. I just want to be like that. When I was then, you totally forget all the mindset garbage that you had when you were that age.
No,
I wouldn't want to be 19.
No,
you couldn't pay me to be 19 again.
No. Between the ages of like 10 to 19, you couldn't pay me any amount of money to go
back. If you're listening and you're 19, we love you. You're doing a great job.
You are. You just keep on going.
You will get older, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, getting older is great. So tell us, where was your health? Give us a little bit of a synopsis of your like health, your bullet points of where your health was at, kind of probably. So you've had your 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
So start kind of with your first kid. What happened with your health then?
Okay. So I had my firstborn child, and he's great. But I went in for my like standard 35-week check and never came home because I went in and basically it transpired that I had preeclampsia, and quite severe preeclampsia.
Yeah, it was quite severe. You looked very puffy.
I was round, guys.
Like, really round.
Round. I didn't realise how ill I was because in myself, I felt fine. And in hindsight, having to spoken to other women who had sort of the same level of blood pressure I had and the same amount of protein in the urine that I had, one lady I spoken to actually went blind.
Oh, gosh.
Temporarily, because her blood pressure was so high.
Sorry.
Her blood pressure was lower than mine, guys. So it's kind of a miracle I felt so well. But I felt well, but I wasn't well. That's the key thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I was in the hospital. I was in hospital for a week. And I got up in the night, as you do when you're pregnant, for a wee. Mm-hmm. And I actually screamed because I saw my reflection in a mirror and thought there was a random in the toilet with me. But it was my face, guys. My face. Mm-hmm. But because I've been lying down and it was so puffy. And that's the moment I thought, maybe I'm a bit poorly.
Maybe this isn't normal. Normal
maybe
pregnancy.
Maybe I'm not supposed swelling. To be swollen from like the thigh down. So I had Elijah and actually... I was induced, guys, and I had an amazing induction. It was great. Don't fear induction. Yeah. It was brilliant, you know, and a great natural delivery. Blood pressure went through the roof and all the alarms went off, so it wasn't perfect, but everything else went fine. But it did take me a while to get better, and I didn't realise that I was that poorly still. Mm. So that was in October, and I think I was still not right at Christmas time.
Yeah.
And then in the new year, I was walking everywhere and not eating ridiculously and breastfeeding, and I'd not lost a pound of weight.
Mm.
After the initial 2 weeks of, you know, all the waters and everything going, I'd not lost a pound. And remember, people, I put on 3 stone. I do pregnancy properly, so that is a lot of weight to be still walking around with. So I thought, this is not right. And went to the doctor and I'm like, no, you're fine, you're fine. And then my great friend, Sam Dobson, she deserves a name check. She's amazing.
She does, she's amazing.
Said to me, I think you need to go get your thyroid checked. And you need to go in and you need to ask specifically to get your thyroid checked. I've been to the doctor a few times just saying, I don't feel right, I don't know what it is. And they've done my iron and stuff. Because I have a history of my iron levels not being quite right. And so I did what I was told by Sam. And... yep, Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. Thyroid deficiency. Like, and not just a little bit. I went from not having any thyroxine to having over 100 milligrams a day. Okay. So it was really quite not working properly. Yeah. And that was great at the time because then I started losing, like, loads of weight really fast.
Yeah.
Because I was obviously not
right. Your metabolism suddenly got what it needed.
Yeah. And in hindsight, I realised that... preeclampsia and hypothyroidism kind of go hand in hand a little bit. And they're not, it's a bit chicken and egg. They don't know which comes first.
No, they don't.
But I think anyone with the blood pressure that I'd have, there's going to be a consequence. So I think my thyroid just went, no thanks.
No.
But then I had to kind of manage that. So at first I was like, oh, this is just a pill I take. I'll just get on with life. And had subsequent babies and stuff and... just sort of ate what I would say is a standard diet.
Yeah. Yeah, never unhealthy. From looking at your diet, it's never, you've always been very good at making food from scratch. You know, you don't eat loads of like ready meals or anything like that. You know, if you're going to eat bread, you'd probably make it yourself.
Like your good self. I like baking. So if we had treats, generally if we have something treaty, I've made it.
Yeah.
So... it's all like, you know, sugar and flour and butter. So it's all normal stuff. But so did that and it was only like, I just sort of got on with life. And it was only the last, after my third baby and coming out of the baby fog.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done, like your green smoothie challenge and introduced green smoothies.
Oh, yes, I remember.
And done those changes. So I did the green smoothie challenge pretty much really soon after having my little girl, which was great. And that actually really helped my recovery, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely. And mum kept coming around with the ginger shots warning.
Oh, yes.
She like came around with the ginger shots.
Bring it on, mum.
All
listening.
The time. Which was also great because this was another October baby, so it's cold season.
Oh, yeah. And it's really nice, the anti-inflammatory ginger, and it's, it's really and warming. It's good.
So I think all those green smoothies really helped me. And I think that's what started me thinking, oh, maybe my way of eating needs a change up. But, you know, I had a newborn baby, so...
yeah, there's so much you can do. But it is, I think your journey actually and your story is a good example of actually you were eating pretty healthy.
Mm.
And even up until like last year, you know, you were having your green smoothies, you were eating vegetables, like... yeah. It's not like you were just eating pies and KFC every day, but actually you suddenly, from my perspective anyway, it's like you suddenly started to gain loads of weight for no for what I could would it didn't look like your diet had even changed that much.
No. So I started to feel the same way I felt after I had Elijah when my thyroid was undiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
But I was still taking my medication and stuff. And at first I was like, oh, I need to get better at taking it at the same time. And then I was like, oh, maybe it needs to increase a little bit. Because it hadn't changed for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, well, I'll go to the doctor and just get it checked. I kept saying, oh, it's fine, it's fine. And I went back and I was like, I don't feel like it's fine. I have that horrible... Now, anyone who doesn't have hypothyroidism, you have this, like, it feels like your brain is working through treacle.
Yeah.
So often you can't find words for the end of your sentences, like stupid things like that. Mm. So you're like, oh, you know, the thingy, the what's it, you know, the, and your husband or partner's like, the spoon. Are you talking about a spoon? And you're like, yeah, I know it's a spoon, but it gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
It's a good example. Everything just seems to slow down. So you get a bit depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
Often.
Yeah.
Which I'm not prone to at all.
No, you're not.
But even, but I found myself being like, oh, you know, like Eeyore, oh, well, I suppose. And that's not me at all.
No,
I'm a very
not.
Glasses half full, optimism will get you everywhere type. It will be fine. It will be fine type. So that started happening. And yeah, no matter what I did, I wasn't shifting any weight at all. So I did the couch to 5K.
Yeah, you were quite active.
Yeah.
Like you're still very fit.
Which I recommend Couch to 5K, guys. If anyone wants to get into running, it's not the best exercise for your joints. If you have any joint issues, don't do it. But I don't. And Couch to 5K is a really good slow introduction. It's a good way of introducing running without hurting yourself. So do not go out and try and run 5K, guys. That's silly.
Or 13 miles like my husband has done before.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not. You injure yourself.
So, but I did that and I thought, well, I've always started with exercise before. This should help kickstart me. No. And then all the while feeling like blur and slow and not, and the blood test kept coming back. Oh, you're normal.
Normal.
You're normal. Like, I'm not normal. This is not what normal feels like.
Yeah.
And the receptionist and the doctors getting more cranky with me. And then my Kezia voice in my head came. Because everyone with siblings has one, you know, because I've only been watching you do your health thing for, you know, your entire life. And I remember you saying, you know, like wheat and dairy are proven to interfere with your thyroid function.
Mm.
And I basically had, I mean, a sort of a, oh shit, kind of moment. When I've thought, you know what, my thyroid isn't brilliant. It's not been brilliant for 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm not actually been doing anything to help it, poor soul.
Yeah.
And if cutting out, you know, if these things are interfering with it, then that would make sense why my bloods are all coming back normal. Lies. But I'm still feeling rubbish.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I may as well, I'm going to have to cut it out to see.
Yeah.
But I'm a, what you say, I'm a holder type.
Yes, you very much are. Which is a Gretchen Rubin habits. If you Google Gretchen Rubin habits, she basically has like a free quiz where you can figure out how you best implement habits. And there's 4 different profiles, one of them being an upholder, which basically means you need no external accountability. Once you've decided you're going to do something, you're going to do it because you want to do it. Which is quite an unusual
otherwise known as bloody-minded, I think.
Yeah, or stubborn.
Stubborn.
Most people are obligers, so most people actually need external accountability, or they tend to, or they need kind of their questions thoroughly answered before they can create habits, which is...
Who does that remind you of,
which
everyone?
Is, which, to take a guess at what I am a prime questioner. And then the other one is, I need to know why. If you can tell me why, I'll do something, no matter what it is. But if there's no good reason or rationale for it, then there's no way on earth you'll get me to do it. And then there's another one that's called Rebel, which is basically you'll, if anyone tells you to do anything, you're likely to do the opposite. So the only way that you might give up sugar is if you kind of make it like, I'm sticking it to the man. That's why I'm going to give up sugar. You wouldn't give up sugar because... I'm like, oh, I'm a nutritionist. You should really give up sugar. You'd be more likely to go and eat like a pint of Ben and Jerry's then. So Google Gretchen Rubin habits. She's written a book on it. It's a really helpful just way of knowing yourself. So Jess is very much an upholder.
Very much. So this approach that I did will not work for a lot of you out there. But I thought, because of the way I'm wired, if I'm gonna give up wheat for 30 days, because that's how long it takes to get out of your system, 30 days or more.
Or more, sometimes or more. Up to 6 months.
Yeah, sorry. 6 months.
Yeah, sorry.
But it's true. So I was like, but it's a bit more achievable to think in 30 days.
But 30 days is a really nice structure.
Like, well, and then look down the barrel of another 30 days, say, having to cut out dairy. I was like, well, I'm just going to do it all at once.
Yep. Which would be known as just an elimination diet. So yeah. She did a 30-day elimination diet.
And I thought, well, I also know that Kezia is, you're quite sensitive to, like, peanuts and some beans and stuff
and
as
the
well.
Gums. Yeah,
and soy. So yeah. I cut that out as well.
Yeah, which is kind of helpful between the two of us because me and Jess come from the same gene pool and I've done a lot of the geeky tests on my genes. And so there were some things that I could just be like, Jess, I genetically don't digest dairy very well. You probably don't either.
Yeah.
Which you weren't very happy about. But.
No. Who wants to give up cheese? Find me anyone who wants to give up cheese.
No, it's true.
Cheese. But, so I did it. I gave up and I thought, well, if I'm doing those three, I'm going to do sugar as well.
Yeah.
Because I know what I'm like and thought, well, if there's a gap, if I'm still allowed sugar, then I'll probably basically eat sugar.
Yeah.
So I just gave up everything. So that was no dairy, no grains, no like legumes, so peanuts or soy, and no sugar for a month.
Yeah.
I still had caffeine though, kids. So I wasn't that crazy.
Yeah.
I still had my coffee. Had to learn to drink it black though. But then I did that for a month and I didn't feel as terrible at first as you think you'd feel when you're eliminating all that stuff and it's all getting out your system.
Yeah.
I had heard all these horror stories of like, you know, like flu-y type symptoms and headaches and migraines and blah, blah, blah. Physically, I didn't feel any of those. But I wonder if some of it is because it was still all sort of shadowed by my general feeling of blur.
Yeah.
And I'd say my hardest thing for doing that and the run-up to that was trying to plan and organise an elimination diet like that whilst feeling the effects of my thyroid not being right.
Yeah.
So living with treacle brain and then trying to plan that was really hard.
Yeah, and shift all those habits.
And shift the habits when you're still living in the sort of mucky, murky, I feel rubbish stage. That was really hard.
Yeah,
I'm not going to
lie.
But I had the promise that, I had the thought that actually this could be fixing this, so it's worth it. It's worth it, because in a month's time, hopefully, I won't be feeling like this, and I'll have worked out what it is. So I cut it all out. By the end of the month, I felt amazing.
Yeah,
I felt amazing. Like I felt like I'd gone from driving like a broken bike to like some sort of like Aston Martin. type thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I can think so fast, everyone. Watch me. And I'm slightly an over-enthusiastic personality type anyway, in case you haven't noticed. But I just went like bananas. Like, I can do this. I can do that. I can go here. I can go there. Like, I went from an Eeyore to a Tigger, if you're following the Winnie the Pooh references.
And you lost, I mean, you've not weighed yourself throughout this journey.
My scales got launched out of a top floor window a long time ago.
Wise. Listen, for those listening.
Those listening.
Generally, wise advice.
Because I have done a lot to shift my mindset in terms of, wow, my body's made three children. You need to honour it for that. But the little evil voice in my head was still like, yeah, but your BMI is this and you should weigh this weight.
Yeah.
Now, technically, I should. Everyone listen out for that should word because it'll get you. That should word. I should weigh 10.5 stone.
Mm-hmm.
Should. When I have weighed that weight, like my wedding, I looked ill, man. Like, ill. That I should not be that weight. I was underweight.
Yeah.
And I looked underweight. So But I had that in my head. So anything over that figure,
yeah,
was obviously
was
I was
going to be a failure.
I'm fat.
Yeah.
So the scales went out the window because I was like, I'm not having this man, this scale man, telling me how to feel.
Yeah.
So I threw them out the window, and I know someone who destroyed them with a hammer.
Yes.
I think that's all very therapeutic.
Yeah. So you don't need to. So Jess didn't weigh yourself.
No.
And you could still tell by the end of
oh man
30 days and now mm-hmm. what 15 months on.
So I measured myself.
You've lost weight
because I have less hang-ups about numbers on a tape measure.
Yeah.
So, but if you out there, you are like, oh, my waist needs to be a certain size, don't measure yourself. But yeah. I've never really measured myself before, so
yeah.
I didn't have measurements that I was aiming for. It was yeah. just a record of what's going on in my body. And within the first 2 weeks, my, like, just from, like, under my bra strap down to, like, my pant line, like, shrunk. It felt like almost overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And, everyone was like, wow, you've lost so much weight. And I'm like, I don't think I've lost weight. I was talking to you. I was like,
yeah.
I don't... If I've lost that much weight in that short amount of time, I'm a bit concerned. And then you were like, I don't think that was weight. I think that was bloating.
Yeah.
Now, guys, I never felt bloated. So I was eating wheat, eating dairy, and I would never describe myself as bloated.
Yeah.
But I definitely was.
Yeah.
Definitely was. Because when I started to reintroduce things to find out what was my sort of, I don't know, kryptonite, I suppose, I noticed like instantly, I was like, oh, look, that tum's come back.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fat. I thought that was
so
all fat.
So many women do. They think it's fat and actually they'll feel like they've lost a stone in a week just from beating the bloat. Like just from...
I had abs, guys. Abs!
Like, we've always had good abs.
I know. I have. I'm the muscly one.
Yeah, she is.
like, but you could see them. Like, just because of all that bloating was in the way. That was amazing. And
that makes sense because bloating is a form of inflammation.
Mm.
And so from my perspective, looking in at Jess's health, knowing she had hyperthyroidism, so meaning her thyroid was underactive, she had a history of ongoing anemia. But other than that, you've had generally better health than me, I'd probably say. And digestion's always seemed to be good.
Yeah.
But I was thinking that probably her hyperthyroidism, even though this hadn't been tested and hasn't been diagnosed, I was assuming that there was probably an autoimmune component going on, which is where all this inflammation, why all of a sudden she'd gained a lot of weight, why the thyroxine potentially wasn't working, was that her body had shifted into a, was basically attacking its thyroid as well as the thyroid not working. Now, that's something your doctor hasn't tested for and refused to test for, which I think is ridiculous. But anyway,
no.
But that would explain as soon as you remove these foods that can in some people's bodies, and from what research shows, once you remove those, even just for 30 days, actually your body's inflammation, that inflammatory response started to go down. And bloating is just a form of inflammation.
Yeah. I was just amazed. I was like, how could I have been that bloated and not realised?
No.
So yeah. My poops have always been brilliant.
Yeah.
Always. I mean, out of the two of us, I'm much better at pooping.
Oh, yeah. Generally, your historical track record of pooping beats mine by far.
Let's be honest.
The chronic incontinent diarrhea lady sitting here. Thankfully, not anymore, guys.
No.
But, you know, if you've listened to any of my trainings, you know I overshare about my poop history.
It's genetic. So I've always pooped the best. And
had a good immune system.
So I was amazed. Yeah. And like, I don't catch everything going. I don't tend to get that ill.
No,
and if
don't.
I do, it's because I've been silly and been up too late and worked too hard and not given myself a break. So I was amazed by how much of it was just swelling and bloating and my body going, no. So by the end of the 30 days, I was feeling really good. And then comes the thing that they don't tell you about. All you health blogger people, you don't tell us. Which is the anger.
So, oh, yeah.
The anger. So when I started to reintroduce things, I kind of knew. You know when you kind of know, but you don't really want to admit it? I kind of knew that was grains and that was like... gluten in particular and dairy gone from my diet forever.
Yeah.
But when I started to reintroduce things and it really, really confirmed, because obviously all that bloating had gone, and then instantly after eating a cracker or something, it's back. You notice.
Mm.
And my poops, which had already been great when I reintroduced stuff, started to get weird again.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, my body doesn't like this stuff. And then comes the anger. So they're sort of the, well, I'm just jolly well pissed off I can't eat cheese.
Yeah.
Without it's having suffering consequences. So, you know, that's normal. That's normal.
Yeah, it is normal. And it is actually an important emotion. Like, you do have to sort of process that in your own way. Because I remember in a different way of realising, you know, actually being angry that I was never going to be like this size 10 person, yogi type person. And I was angry about that because some people are, and they naturally will, whatever. And then sometimes I'll get frustrated, not to be fair as much because it's become such a habit and lifestyle, but in the early stages of things like wheat and gluten, I would get annoyed and angry about it. And that's okay. I think that's a really, it's you're allowed to feel that way. And it's then you, because it's all, what you eat is always a choice. And so then it becomes a choice of, okay, well, how do you want to feel? Because you can obviously eat dairy and gluten if you want to. We're all grown ups. No one's stopping you from doing it. But it's actually more about, okay, how do you want to feel? And where is your, and how does it impact your health?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was probably over a year ago.
Mm.
And you've continued to kind of, from a physical level, shrink.
I know. I was amazed how much weight I lost.
Yeah.
From it.
Although we don't know exactly because we don't.
It was centimetres. Like, it's a good,
I would guess you probably lost at least 2 or 3 stone.
Yeah.
I think 3.
From clothes-wise as well, so one of my tipping points was we was feeling really blah and then had to go jean shopping. We all know how I felt then. Feeling blah and then having to buy jeans.
Yeah.
Was when I ended up in Marks and Spencer's for said jeans. And in a Marks and Spencer's size 18. Now, you ladies know Marks and Spencer's are great with their size 8.
Yes, nice and generous.
So a size 18 in Marks and Spencer's is a nice sort of big size. Mm. And I'd never been that size before. Well, the only time I'd been that size before was like post-baby bod.
Yes.
So, you know, the grace period, everyone needs a grace period after having a baby, 3 months after you have a baby, that's the only time I've been that size.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was sad. That was a sad moment. But now I'm comfortably back in like a 16 on my bum and a 12 on the top rather than an 18 on the bum and a 14 on the top.
Yeah.
I've got broad shoulders.
Shorts? Yeah, and we'll put some photos in the show notes of like
some
comedy before and afters. She's not in her underwear though.
No, sadly. but it's good. Like, remember, like, even silly places like my thighs, I lost a good like 4 centimetres from my thigh.
And your face as well. Your face was looking. We just looked at some photos before we started. Actually, your face was more swollen.
And because I was desperately trying not to focus on the weight loss element.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't track it so well. But then when we were looking at those pictures just there, I was like, man, I've lost a lot of weight.
You have.
Like,
you have lost a lot
more
of weight
than I realised. But yeah, we'll show you some fun pictures.
Yeah, we'll put some pictures in the show notes if you want to see. I mean, just to point out as well, with before and after pictures, Jess looks super hot before and after. So this isn't necessarily about like, oh, she's suddenly become better.
Oh, she's so sad with no makeup on before.
No, she was like rocking it, looking hot before, but now she's rocking it and looking hot, but actually is also healthier. And the result of her actually being healthier and potentially her thyroid working better, although we don't know that for sure because we probably should run some lab tests on you. But anyway, we'll maybe do that in the new year. I do that with my family.
Lab tests.
Yeah, I find them exciting. But actually, her weight has shifted because as an expression of her being healthy and actually her body rebalancing.
Yeah.
Which is often, I think, one of there's nothing wrong with wanting to lose weight because weight can sometimes be an expression of an imbalance going on in your body. Sometimes. For some people, it's not, and you just need to learn to deal with it and know that you're beautiful and worthy as you are. But a lot of the time, a lot of the clients I work with, it is actually an expression of an imbalance, a metabolic issue, kind of like with thyroid issues, adrenals, poor nutrient status, like loads of different things going on. And actually, when it comes to losing large amounts of weight, I think almost it seems like your secret in, you know, what, 15, 16 months on and having created this lifestyle where you're now pretty much, you're not always gluten-free and you're not always dairy-free, but you generally are, you've lost weight, you've kept it off, you are fit and healthy, you know, healthier than you were, actually, it's probably because you weren't, as odd as it sounds, weren't fixated on every pound and hopping on the scales every day.
Yeah, definitely. And I would be lying if I said weight wasn't in my mind when I
No, of course, yeah, you would be.
Because I do know from past
experience.
It is
encouraging.
Yeah, and I know from past experience, like, if I knew that if I can drop, say, half a stone, I will feel a lot better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I will. Because I've done it before and that's been the result. Yep. But I didn't want that to be my number one reason because it's a shallow reason.
Yeah.
It's not a good enough foundation to build a whole lifestyle change on.
No. It's not got enough meat to it.
Like, I love cheese. I love chocolate. And I really do quite like sugar as well.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to give them up for just, you know, if I'm just going to say I'm never going to eat them ever again just to lose weight, that's not enough for me.
Yeah.
It was more the fact that it did actually change my day-to-day life. That is why I continued to cut them out. So we were camping over the summer and I had another angry moment because I ate probably more wheat and dairy than I would normally, like in my normal diet, which isn't okay. But, you know, there was a consequence to that and I came back feeling really tired. So if I found, guys, that if I eat wheat in particular and gluten that I get, it affects my energy levels massively.
Mm.
So I digest it fine, it seems. But I will feel really tired and run down for like a week after. So that helps me decide whether I'm going to eat that sandwich or not.
Yeah.
So I'm like, do I want to feel tired for a week after this? No.
Yes.
Do I want to eat my kids' crusts and feel knackered for 3 days? No. Not worth it. Not worth it. But when we were camping, it was a handy reminder of like, oh yeah, like
yeah.
This makes me feel, I don't eat this because it makes me feel rubbish.
Yeah.
Which
is really helpful to do. I'll often have clients who will have a session and they'll be like, oh, I feel really bad because I ate something over the weekend. And I'm like, no, actually, you know, maybe they've been trying to remove gluten or dairy or eggs or whatever food that we think is causing that inflammatory response. Because what we're talking about here, we're focusing mainly on dairy and kind of wheat and gluten, which are things that Jess has highlighted and I highlight. And I know from my own thing, my own health journey don't help me. But for different people, this isn't about everyone needs to go gluten and dairy free. I think everyone should try it, run an experiment like kind of Jess did. I often encourage people to run experiments because your body will tell you how you feel. And it's not, as Jess said, it's not necessarily about how, if you have any active or obvious digestive issues, it can be around tiredness, your mood and how you feel. You know, and your sluggishness around it. But it's also really good then to test it and to discover, oh yeah, you know what, when I eat eggs or when I eat onions or when I eat gluten, I do actually feel sluggish, and it can then motivate you and it gives you that consequence and helps you with your future choices in terms of making those. So Jess, what would you say if someone listening is and she's probably, she thinks she's a couple of stone heavier than what she wants to be and knows is healthy. She kind of wants to lose weight, but she also doesn't want to get like sucked into the diet club vortex. And probably maybe has been in that diet club vortex.
Haven't
before.
We all?
Haven't we all? I joined mine when I was 11, guys.
I was fairly hot on your heels as well.
Yeah, family diet club. So what would you say to her in terms of, what would your advice be if you were to give like two top tips to
someone
listening?
I think from my experience and experience of my really good friends, that don't try and lose the weight fast.
Mm.
So a lot of the diet club vortex is attractive for the whole lose 12 stone in a day type.
Yeah.
Vibe that it gives off.
Mm-hmm.
And you probably can, maybe not in a day, but you will lose weight if you do those things. But will you be healthier as a result? No. Will the weight come back on? Yes.
Mm.
So there is no quick fix.
No.
Sorry, guys. Sorry. And I know when you're staring down the barrel of a 3-stone weight gain after having a baby, for example, I know what that feels like. And someone telling you there's no quick fix is like, I know you probably just want to like come and punch me in the face. I do. I understand. But the minute you start chasing the quick fix is the minute your health suffers.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, you can eat your ultra light super no points in spread that doesn't melt on what it's but it doesn't melt, guys. There's your clue. It's not good for you. What is it? What's in it? It's not butter. What is it?
It's definitely not butter.
I've eaten it. I've eaten it.
Oh,
I'm not judgy. I've eaten it, so I know what I know how weird it is. But like the minute you start down there, your health's going to suffer. I mean, read. And the thing that my elimination diet also really taught me was reading your labels.
Yeah.
Which sounds really dull, but you'll be amazed what's in your food.
Yeah.
Amazed.
And just being a little bit curious. You don't need to become like weird and anal about it, but just being like, okay, well, what is maltodextrin? Like, does it need to be in everything I eat? And then you can just that awareness, I think is really important.
So it's not going to happen overnight. And it is the small things. It is the waking up in the morning and deciding to have eggs for breakfast instead of, and even if you don't really want that, instead of going to the crunchy nut cornflakes, whatever. It is the drinking the disastrous green smoothie rather than going for the toast. We've all made disastrous green smoothies.
We have.
I made one yesterday. It just smelled like, it just tasted like pureed avocado. It was not good.
Yeah, that's why I created the green smoothie challenge, just to try and help people bypass the disastrous.
Because she's really kind
pond,
like that.
Pond water smoothies.
I mean, we've all gone there, oh, it's fine, I'll freestyle this one. And then you drink it and you're like, oh no,
rank.
No.
Rank. Mm-mm. Yeah.
Or a Pinterest one that looked really good and you thought you'd try and you realise that Pinterest person obviously has no taste buds.
Yes.
That's also happened.
Yeah.
It is the little things, it's the little choices.
Yeah. I think that's really wise. And I think that, and I think when it comes to losing weight, it is about accepting that there isn't a quick fix.
I'm really sorry to say that, but it's true.
I know. And even things like that are seen as quick fixes, like your extreme surgeries of bigastric bypasses and bands or whatever it is, like even those statistically actually have a very, they don't have a great success rate actually of weight loss, because weight loss really is actually about shifting habits, about shifting your lifestyle, and about actually learning to heal the body a lot of the time, because excess weight that we can carry on our body for some people is just around nutrition, like they're just what they're eating is just off. But for a lot of people, and for most people listening, it's probably not just about what you're eating. It's about what you're thinking. It's about your relationship with your body. And it's about these health issues that could be kicking off, actually, that's making it even harder for you to lose weight. And so I think that is very, very wise advice. You're very wise, Jess.
Well, thank you. I am older than you, that's why.
It's true. She is. She's older. I'm the youngest one.
I bring that up whenever I need to. Really?
It's true. Well, thank you for joining us, Jess.
Hey, anytime. It's fun just to have you around my kitchen chat about.
We just ate naked bars and drank oat coffees.
Oat milk in coffee, guys. Oat milk in coffee.
Yeah.
I'll save you a lot of research there. It's the way to go.
It is the way to go. It's actually
Miss ex-barista here requests her milk at a set temperature.
I do.
I'm dubbing you in right now.
I'm a coffee snob. If you did not know that about me, I often will chat to clients and they're like, and coffee, I love coffee. Coffee doesn't always love me. So, you know, we've had to have a bit of a love-hate relationship. But I did used to manage like a artisan coffee shop. So I totally get when people...
She bought her own beans, everyone.
I did.
She bought her own beans.
I bought my own
That's
beans and coffee
about.
Grounder around Jess's house. But thanks for joining me, Jess. And we're going to be doing a part two on this as well. So make sure you keep your eyes open for that. But as always, if you have any questions, then feel free to head over to Instagram, which is just at Supernaturally Healthy. It's probably the best place to find me. And you can direct message me or leave a comment and ask any questions. Oh, you can ask Jess questions as well, because you're on the Instagram.
I am. Jess Awesome Brown.
I'll follow
me.
I'll put a link for that in the show notes.
There's lots of pictures of me in my messy house, essentially.
Yeah. And if anyone runs a small business and needs someone awesome like Jess to help them, then get in touch with her there. I don't know if you have any space for new clients, because to be fair,
I've got one really demanding one, guys.
Yeah, you've got one really demanding one, me and a couple of others. But you know, you never know in future.
No, send me a message on Instagram. I can see what I can do. If you need your life, if you need basically your life tidying up after you, if you need your awesomeness activated for you, I'm your girl. That's... I've spent my life tidying up after this one, so I'm really good at it.
Yeah, she's basically kept me sane the last few years.
Basically.
Let's be honest.
By last few years, she means her entire life.
Sending you lots of love, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Seeing if it works.
I hope my fridge isn't too loud.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very loud fridge. I could... Oh, I can't turn it off.
Well, we could always move into the lounge if need be.
Depends how good your microphone is. Let's be...